This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What's the tip?
Big boy in a fifth.
Forget it. The fifth goes off at 3. We going to the track?
You're listening to Race Day at Fairmont Park on lineupmedia.fm.
And it off.
With a different story on every face.
I'm going to Hawaii! I'm going to Hawaii!
It's falling back.
I'm not going to Hawaii!
Will they make it through?
I like the two horse. It's got front wraps.
Big money on the four horse.
I like the 6, that's the horse, that's it.
I always bet on 5.
The number 1 horse.
I like the 4, number 4, 4.
I like the 6.
I like the 4 horse.
And you lay your money down when you cross the line.
Here comes the champ.
I mean it, you are the champ. Believe me, you got more guts than you got sense. I love it.
Now your host, Jono Kabinjian.
Welcome back, race fans, to another great show here on FairmontParkPodcast.com. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing, Jono?
Mike, I got to be honest with you, man. I didn't know I did that damn good on the first race.
I was just looking at that myself. You got them picked
all the way from what? From the first horse all the way down to the very last, Drew. I've never done anything like that. That's amazing. What's the odds on that?
Oh, man. Got to be, what, 100 to 1? 7 horse field? It's got
to
be.
More than 100 to 1.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it
more
is.
More than 100 to 1.
Might be 50 to 1. 7 horse field. I mean, what's the crunch of the numbers?
No. It's, I mean, this is all down the line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All no right. Brainer on top of that, though, too. I mean, you look at, they run true to form. Look at the odds. I mean, chalk.
Well, no, sir.
Well, second,
sir.
Third was switched.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to our show, and we're going over the races on this past Tuesday, or matinee racing, and it was a nice card.
Yeah, it was good card. You know, had a couple of good races in there.
Something happened in that card too. That, you know, there was an inquiry,
and
I guess it was the Molina horse, right?
Yes.
And he just cut over. And I think that horse that he cut over on didn't look too good.
Well, the horse at that spot of the race, I mean, that call could have went either way. It did look bad.
Yeah.
But when when they go into that turn and they switch into their left lead, a horse automatically comes down a half a path to a path. It just happens. They do that. And for the jock that was on the inside, Arietta was on the inside. And he, in my opinion, I'd have left it the way it was because he's either got to get up in there or get out of there. And he chose to be kind of in and out. And he knew that horse had to drop down. The horse that he was on has one eye. She is blind completely on the, I think it's the inside eye.
Which horse is this?
Shame on the Night.
Okay.
And she wears a bubble on the blinker, completely covered. I think she kind of reacted the way she did because of that, because she didn't see that horse until it was too late. And I think she actually bounced off the inside rail and then shot out across the track a little bit. But to defend the steward, too, it's got to be one way or the other. And, you know, I'm not a steward. I can't make that call. But I have seen them call them in for movies. And, you know, you tell a jock that was interfered with, you know, you got to be in or out of there. And you got to know that.
Right.
You know?
Right. On that note, too, I mean, man, what did happen to that horse? They put it down?
No, that horse didn't go down. That was the other night when the other horse went down.
Okay. Which one was I thinking that?
That was Saturday night.
That was Saturday night. Yeah.
They did have to euthanize that horse.
Oof. Well, All right. Okay, folks. It's part of racing, and I think this year, too, Mike, I think all that's been down. Mm-hmm. Knock on wood.
It has.
We have not. Is this a nationwide thing that the horsemen are talking about, or is this still happening a lot more out there, or Fairmont Park has just controlled it a little bit better?
Well, Fairmont Park, since I've been around here in the early 2000s, you get a lot of older horses that has problems. And them older horses that has problems are usually the ones that do not break down. They take care of themselves, and they know how to run with pain, and they know when to not run as hard as they can when they get to hurting. The horses that had the catastrophic injuries primarily are younger horses with no problems. They take a bad step. They hit a hole in the track. Sometimes, you know, you just can't control it. But the ones that has, like, chips in their knees that has been operated on, the bow tendon horses, the soft tissue, suspensories, them horses learn to run with that. And that's why they're here, because they can't compete at a higher level at some of the major tracks. You seen a horse running here the other day that made 300 and some odd thousand that Ralph Martinez trains, Shanghai Red.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's horse was in that race with him, Smart Alex's posse. On paper, to look at that horse, he's impossible to beat. But I'm sure he's got a few problems. And if you watch his races, his replays, which I did, every time he goes into the turn, he loses ground, no matter if it's two turns or a one-turn race.
Right.
And he probably has some kind of an issue on the left front that when he's in that left lead, he doesn't, you know, perform as well as he does when he's in his right lead.
Right.
And he runs second. The jockey rode him perfectly. He just didn't have enough time to get up.
Well, you know what? You gave the horse aspect to it. I'm going to say we've seen, from what we're seeing, numbers being down, mm-hmm. and all that, I'm going to give it to our crews, our people behind the scenes. Obviously, they're doing something right, too, by the judges, by the people taking care of the field. I mean,
right.
I mean, everything has got to be – something's happening here where it's drastically dropped down, too. So,
yeah.
You know, we credit all around on
right.
everything. So we got to look at that aspect as well. All right, let's go to our first race here from September 19th, and that was a six-furlong – what was that? A six-furlong – 4,000?
3,200.
3,200. And how far was that?
Three quarters.
Six furlong. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got and this one was won by My Little Darling by Victor Santiago. And this one opened up. Won by eight. And 30 cents to the dollar bet on? Okay. So I did have that one on top.
Right.
Then I had the five horse, Rosie's Relish, Arietta. And that one was seven, nearly
mm-hmm.
eight to one on that, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? And that one came second. And the third place horse, Royal City. And that was Uriel Lopez, third place, 4-1. So how about that?
Yeah.
And folks, by the way, I went 6-5-1-4-7-2-3 on this. All in that order.
Yeah, and they came in just like that.
Yeah. All right, on this one, the 6-5 Exacta, $10.60. The 50-cent trifecta, 6-5-1, $7.50. The 10-cent super, 6-5-1-4, $2.94. And Giano hit 7, 6-5-1-4-7-2-3. $7,582. Thank you. All right, let's move on to race number two. Race number two. And you know what flustered me last race there? I couldn't pull my thing up here. So
right.
Ah, there it is. Now my middle screen's popped up as well. All right, so that's what we're looking for. All right, Mike, what do we got here? What do we got here, babe?
Well, the Stormy Cape, trained by Eddie Essen Price, rode Rainier Arietta. It was one of them races that went to the front, and I know the silent congrats filly for Scott Becker, ridden by Victor Santiago. Their plan was to let the three-horse go And they knew that she was going to show some speed, and they was just going to sit right behind her, which they did. But that filly in front, she never quit. Actually, she drew off and went by 5.5 lengths, 19-1.
19-1, man.
Part of an entry for Eddie Essen Price. He had the filly ready to go, and the track was a little tighter. We had a lot of rain Monday. The time in the first race was 11 and change, and for cheap horses, that's pretty fast. But Stormy Cape, she went to the front, kept on going. Silent Congrats to 6 was second. And number 4, The Ridge, ridden by Juan De La Cruz, was 3rd at 10-1.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on this one, Mike, I had Silent Congrats on top here. I thought that was the horse to beat, and so did the public. And I had The Ridge. And The Ridge got some price there, huh?
Mm-hmm. 10-1.
10-1. I had The Ridge to come in second. And I had
Say a Little Prayer for Me.
Yeah, Say a Little Prayer for Me. And maybe you may need a little bit more of a prayer since you finished fifth there. Was that like a Hallmark card?
Yeah.
That all rhymed.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of that anymore.
No.
But that was damn good. All right, let's move on. All right, so on this one, Mike, the $2 exacta, 3-6, 121 big ones, babe.
That's a good one there.
The 50-cent try, 3-6-4, $117.45. And $1 daily double, 6-3, $28.40. And the 10-cent superfecta, 3-6-4-5. $52.43. There was no hit. There was no 7 hit Jono on this one.
No.
No. No one. No one came close.
No. Not on that one.
All right. So let's move on to race number 3. Race number 3 is a 6 furlong allowance optional claimer, $4,000. $4,000, my friends. And on this one, let's go with the 5 horse on top, Heidi Hu, Victor Santiago. And this one, this is the type of horse I like to see. I like to see a horse coming 3-4 off and mm-hmm. then just mow him down. Yeah. Around that last turn, just you know it's coming. Yeah, the crowd knows it's coming. You don't have to speculate. You don't have to wonder. But you love horses that just come like that. And that's what this horse showed. Heidi Hu, Santiago, and the crowd bought into it at, 170, 6 to 5?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. 6 to 5 on that. We got the 6 horse that was DQ'd up. Is that DQ'd up, or what was that, the Katharina Eugene?
Yeah, she finished second in the race but got disqualified to last.
Okay. So what happens then? The 7 horse moved up? The
7 horse moved up,
well,
yeah.
Why the hell don't they just have that on here? How am I supposed to read that?
Well, that's the chart, so you got to go by the chart. And
where
then
is
back
Drew?
To the...
Why is he giving me stuff like this? God's sake, man. How am I supposed to read this crap? Fire him. All right. I can't fire him. I like the little guy, too. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's a good kid. So then we'll go with the 7, Boo Hoo Sue, another favorite here at nearly 2.5-1. Anything that stood out there, Mike? The DQ, all that stuff, was that called for, or you don't want to talk about it? Are you going to throw something at me, or what?
Nah, it is what it is. It's, it could have went either way, I thought, but it's a bad spot in the track. They switch leads, and... Mm-hmm. When they do switch leads, horses tend to come down a half a path or right. so. But it happened, and they decided to take the horse down. But what is the key thing in this race was the big scratch. Flying Phoebe scratched out of the race.
Big time favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, she would have probably been off 1-5 in here.
Who was that? Who was the trainer on that?
Gerald Butler. Yeah.
Do you think that, I don't know, do you think that he thought someone was going to claim it?
No. No, it's that time of year. You know, she was in for the tag of $4,000. She's made close to 20 this year. She's 8 years old. I'm sure they wouldn't have cared to have lost her. Maybe she was sick. Who knows? But they did scratch, and then Santiago picked up, I guess they double-jock-mounted Giles in here when they seen Santiago was open and they put him on Heidi Hu, which he'd went on her, I don't know, four or five starts ago last time he rode her, she won. But if you look at your picks over there to the side of this, and I noticed that, you picked Flying Phoebe on top, so you throw her out because of the scratch, mm-hmm. and you have a 5-6-7, and that's how they cross the wire.
Nope, I'm not through yet, Mike. Look, keep going down.
5-6-7-1, and flip-flop the 4 and the 2, and then you had them all in a row again.
I'm seeing something here. I'm seeing something here, folks. I'm not only attacking the front two now. I've developed this new thing where I'm exceeding 5, 6, and 7.
Houdini.
My God, man.
It's scary.
Yes. So, hey, when you're there, buy the green sheet. That's yeah. all you have to do.
That's right.
I mean, I can't do anything else. You know, 250. Yeah. 250.
That's right. I mean,
it's not 250. I
mean, look what the trifecta paid.
How much did this one pay? Let's check this one out, Mike. The 5-7 paid $17.20.
A gift. 6-5 shot. And a 2-1 shot.
And a 50-cent try, 5-7-1, $26.70.
For a 50-center.
And the $1 daily double, 3-5, $80.20. I think I had that too, didn't I?
Well, here's the thing about it is, if you wasn't aware, you know, a lot of people, when they bet their doubles, they bet them in advance. And if you wasn't aware of the early scratch, you know, a lot of refunds was probably taken there. Because I'm sure Flying Phoebe was one of them doubles, all her.
Right.
Not too many people had the previous horse that paid right. $60 or whatever she paid.
Right. So that was the daily double at 3-5, and that was $80. The 50-cent pick 3, 6-3 with the 3-5, $80.85. The 10-cent super, 5-7-1-2, $20.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You just keep winning. That's all. That's all you got to do. You missed it, Drew. I did another one of those Houdini acts. Yeah. All you did was go out there and stuff your face, and I'm trying to give you pointers here. And this damn horse keeps running the other way. I haven't figured that one out, Drew. The horse has got to run that way. We got to work on that.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to race number 4 here. Race number 4, we got a 6-furlong allowance optional claiming $5,000. Mike, what do you got here, babe? What do you got?
Green Means Go, trained by Gerald Butler, ridden to victory by Uriel Lopez. This horse in the post parade, he actually ran off for half a mile. it was unbelievable. And they got him under control, and he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He went to the front. Uriel did a heck of a good job with him. They went the first quarter in 23-1, and that's where the race was won right there. These caliber horses, 22 and change, usually gets the first quarter. He milked them back. Shanghai Red run a game second. He run a really good race with Javier Diego. And some horse by the name of Smart Alex's Posse was third. Half length separated the first three finishers. It was a real good horse race, very competitive horse race. The first four was right there at the wire. They went 1-11-2, so the track was pretty tight Tuesday, I'm sorry.
Well, I tell you what, too, Mike. My buddy Chris that owns Who Dat's, I was there. They had shrimp with corn. It was boiled corn with Cajun seasoning around it.
With
the potatoes, and it was all warm. God.
What about crawfish? You got crawfish there? Probably does.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And oysters. My wife likes oysters, and we're going back there next month.
Where's that at, you say? Troy?
It's out in Troy somewhere. I went off the highway of 255, and boom, I was right there. But Chris, he owns that horse, and he came out to my winner circle on my horse, so I was like really happy for the guy.
Yeah, well, good deal.
Yeah, Green Means Go, and he's a good looking horse too.
Yeah, a little gray horse.
He's dark.
Yeah,
he's a gray. Darker.
He's gray.
Well, whatever, dark gray, whatever.
He's a dark gray.
Yeah, I mean the horse is definitely a winning machine right now, green machine. Money, money. That's what it's all about. And now let's go on to the fifth race here, Mike. Fifth race. And fifth race is a...
Yeah, I guarantee you we didn't have this one.
It's a maiden claiming 4,000 Halloween. Yeah. So this one here is, what is it, 6 furlong? Yeah.
Yeah.
The sixth horse, what is the name of that?
Barton Attack.
Barton Attack. And Barton Attack won this by two and a half maybe. And I know it crapped all over my exacta that I had on this one. And that was a 32-1 payoff here. I'm sure it made the masses very happy when this one finished the line first. Only one person in the stands. You always got that one on the not on the roulette, but at the crap table.
Oh, yeah.
It goes up against everyone. Oh, this is the one. The second place horse here went to the 8, Day's Your Best, and that was Victor Bailon. And I'm getting pumped up with Victor Bailon. There's something future coming with my horse. That's in the next half coming up here. Victor Bailon, and he was a crowd favorite here at 50 cents to the dollar. And then we had the 7 horse Graduate Cat, Victor Santiago. And Victor Santiago went off at 9-1. I would have probably bet on a 9-1 Victor Santiago. So, yeah, that's probably my show ticket. All right. So, any surprises here, Mike?
No, not really. They had, I think they had another key scratch in here, Oklahoma Lizzie. Santiago was scheduled to ride that horse, and he scratched. And I think that's probably why you got 9-1 on Santiago's horse. That finished third, Graduate Cat. I think if he would have been programmed to ride that horse, you would have probably seen a little bit lower odds.
Yeah, on that race, I had a 5, 8, 9, 10.
Mm-hmm.
And a 9, 10. And you know what? 9, 10, they still ran together, but to the bottom they did. Hey, but I'm still riding high.
That's right.
All right. So in this one, $2 exacta, 6, 8. 145 big ones here, my friends. The 50 cent try, 687, $221. The 10 cent superfecta, 6871. What is that, 375?
Mm-hmm.
Why throw that penny in?
Yeah, leave it.
Yeah. $1 daily double, 2, 6, 175, 70. And the 50 cent pick, 3, 3. Slash 5 with the 2, 6, $151. Finally seen some three-digit payoffs here.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
All right. So that one was what race? So that was the – yeah. You know what, Mike? Isn't it ironic? It's going to have to take something like this, a maiden claiming 4,000 or something like that, just to get the prices up on these tickets of ours.
Well, and like we talked about a few weeks back, you know, on these cheap maiden races when full fields, sometimes you just got to throw logic out the window and just go with your number, favorite looking horse,
right.
You know, what have you.
All right, right. All right, so we move on to race number 6, and this one was, I'm looking at this going, wow, look at this. 6 furlong allowance optional claiming 30,000. I'm thinking, what are we at Oaklawn Park?
Yeah, I know. It was a good race.
So this one was done by D Rapper. D Rapper, and that's a Victor Santiago. And Victor Santiago, I didn't hear his name at all throughout. And now he gets on this one. And Victor Santiago gets the job done with D Rapper. And D Rapper, what, 90 cents? What is that?
9-5. I'm sorry, 4-5.
Yeah, 4-5. 4-5 on that. The 3, Purging the Stone. And I knew this was one of my best plays of the day here, guys. And I think it paid like 8 to, well, we'll get to that in a minute here. That one paid $4.20. The 5 horse. Infinite Success, Molina, 8-1. You know what? And this is what hurt a lot of people because they kind of figured this was going to be like a 2-3-4 or a 2-4-3-2 3, and it didn't end up being like that. And Mike, anything on this one?
Well, the 5-horse internet success, he just won a $12,500 claiming race at Belterra, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, something
and
like that.
Open class horses, you know, sometimes you get some shippers up from Churchill or, you know, Keeneland, Ellis Park. And sometimes them races tend to be a little tougher than what you give them credit for. But D-Rapper, he ran a big race. Jerry Hammond had Purging the Stone and Laguna Diamonds in, and he sent Laguna Diamonds after D-Rapper, try to take the edge off him a little bit. And as soon as Laguna Diamonds got tired, internet success was sitting right there on D-Rapper's hip and took a little steam out of him until ahead of the stretch. And then you have to hold off Purging the Stone, which has been a monster for years at Fairmont. But fortunately for Santiago and Becker, D-Rapper had enough left, and they went a real fast time. They went 1-10-3 off fractions of 22-2, 45-1, and 57-3. It was a big race, a big day for Victor and Becker. They both got their training title trophies. That was, I think, Victor's third win of the day and Scotty's second win with a second. So it was a good day for that camp.
Well, like I was saying, though, this one was my big play on the Exacta, and I just looked down at it. The 2-3 paid $12.40, and I loaded up on this one. This one was the one that I was really excited about, and 2-3-5, $11.45 on the Trifecta, and the $1 Daily Double 6-2. This is not a bad price at all here. $141.90, is that?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's not bad. Or 141.80. You're seeing that 8 as a 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and 50-cent pick 3, 262. Is that 262?
Yes.
Yes, 262, $85.15. But, yes, this one was a nice exacta.
Nice exacta, especially for them two horses. I mean,
yes.
They really bet the 4-horse down to well, he was 9-5, Infinite Mischief. He just ran a week ago and ran a big race against Lesser Company. But D-Rapper and Purging the Stone, they threw it down, boy, from the 8th pole to the wire.
That's good. That's good. What a race. Kind of reminds me of the old days. Mm-hmm. Battle Cat and Cool Zen, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were the days. And I always had this one crap horse. Always crap, but when it rained, when it became sloppy, I always bet on it and named Metric Mike.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right, so now we're at race number 7. Race number 7, 1 mile, allowance optional claiming, $5,000. And this one was taken by the 2-horse here. He took care of business, Bold Ransom, and everyone cashed a winning ticket on this one, and it went off at, what is that, 7-5?
Yes.
7-5 on that. And the 3-horse here, Nafer's Best, Uriel Lopez. And again, vintage Uriel comes from 5, made a race out of it. And that was 3-1. And then we had the 7, Briars Hill, Molina Jr., or Juan Molina. I said Molina Jr. Hey, you know, Molina's coming here for a baseball show.
Oh, is he?
Lineup. Yeah, yeah. So that was...
I think that's Yachty.
Yeah, yeah, oh. Yachty Molina. No, Benji and Benji and Yachty.
Oh,
Benji
really?
Comes in here all the time.
Really?
But sometimes we have a cameo from Yachty, too.
Well, Benji's doing a Latino broadcast at Bush all the time,
right,
too, isn't he?
Yeah. Right. I'm trying to get him to do an Armenian podcast.
Might be difficult.
I'm sure you can pull it off.
Right.
Anyway, what do we got here? We've got we've got Juan Molina. All right, so that's what we got.
Yeah.
All right, so that was a 2-3-7. And I had on this one, I had the 7.
You riders. Had it just in the wrong order.
7-2-3 is what I had. But you know what? You box those.
Right.
You always box them.
My 3 favorite numbers to box, too. 2-3-7.
2-3-7, is
it? Always has been.
All right. That's good. 2-3-7. Any sex in that? No. Let's not get crazy. All right. And the payoff on this one, $14.40 on the exacta. The 237, 50-cent try, $15.95. The daily double, 22, $6.10. The 50-cent pick three, 6-2 with the two, $87.70. The 10-cent super, 2375, $9.12. Moving on to the eighth race, the finale. And this is a 6 furlong claiming 4,000. And you know what? I'm just going to throw right into this and so we can get to our second half here. This was won by the 9-horse Ice Attack, Juan Molina. And that was a 2-1 horse. Followed by the 4, Aniwaka. Aniwake, you sure? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was a Japanese horse.
That could be.
Yeah. All right. So it could be Aniwaka, or it could be Anwake, whatever.
Second place.
Right. Second place, Victor Santiago, and that was near 2-1. And the 8 horse here, Illini Kitten. Illini Kitten, $28. Or not $28, near 29-1.
Right.
Right, yeah, so that's what we have on that one. And the payoffs on this one, $2 exacta, 9-4, $19.20. And the 50-cent trifecta, 9-4-8, $89.65. And the 10-cent superfecta, 9-4-8-7, $85.81. The $1 daily double, 2-9, $9.30. The 50-cent pick three, 2-2-9, $11.90. And our 50-cent pick four, it's a nice one, 6 with the 2, with the 2, with the 9. And that paid $348.25. So that concludes our September 19th racing at Fairmont Park. And now we're moving on to our predictions on Saturday night, our last night. And you know what, Mike? It's going to be interesting because of the fact that you have all these horses and fields. Now we may see the pick threes and the pick four with some value to it.
Yeah, and you're going to, with these full fields, you've got a lot of jockeys that's going to be riding horses that they haven't rode this meet and switching around because everybody's zifting to one place to the other. A lot of unfamiliarity is going to be going on, and I tell you what, Saturday night, if you get lucky, you can make some money because there's going to be some good payoffs.
Let me ask you this. What is the hardest thing to handicap? A Breeders' Cup or a field like this with full fields like this?
Well, most of the time, like the Breeders' Cup horses, I can't speak from experience, but a lot of them real good horses run true to form usually every time.
But they all have form.
Yeah, but usually two-year-olds, they haven't learned, I don't want to say any of them cheat, but two-year-olds... If you've got a two-year-old that's been working well in the morning, that's never run before, breaks well from the gate, they'll run like you think they're going to, usually. Now, if they do break bad and get dirt in their face for the first time, sometimes you can get a runner. Look at Arrogate when he run his first start. He didn't run that good. Usually what I look for in two-year-olds is trainers first, jockeys second, and then look at the works from the gate. And if they've got good gate drills, usually they'll run pretty good the first time out.
Right, right. So, yeah, to me, though, everything that we have for September 23, you have full fields, and it's a tough races as a bettor.
Mm-hmm.
And you got more of them now. You had 6 of them, 7 of them before. Now you got 10 of them, and they all look like clones,
right,
up and down.
Right.
So. It's a tough thing to read out. That's all I'm saying. Our first one here is a 5.5 furlong maiden special weight 9,000, and this one you go right into it here. And I went on top here with the 4 horse Mr. Lovemaker. Yeah, I think the connections. This horse ran 2 times. First time didn't lose by much. Second time, I don't know what happened there. Crowd jumped on board. I think I'm going to give this one more pop here. Mr. Lovemaker on top here, Mike, and that's Giles and Doris. I like Doris too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Tom's been around for a long time. He's done very well. He's won, I don't know, 3,000 or 4,000 races in his life. And he's always got these two-year-olds ready. This horse here, he does have the experience. It's in the race. Prince Abdu, he's run three times, actually. Kind of like the second race back, maiden claim of 25,000 at Arlington Park. He runs second, got beat 6 lengths on the poly track. That was kind of a good field of horses there, too. Ran a good equibase number there, run a 47. But I'm going to throw all that out the window, and I'm going to go to the outside, the 10 horse, the first-time starter, royal position. Scott Becker, Santiago, well-positioned.
Imagine that.
Wildwood Royal, nice mare, nice breeding. Got some good gate works in the morning. Horse has been working very well all along.
So you're saying that it could overcome that outside?
Yes.
That it's got that much speed?
Well, not only – here's the thing about when they break from the outside. If they've got speed and something – this goes a little bit awry leaving out of there, they're not buried down into the rail behind 7 or 8 horses. You can still pick your spot. And I look for this horse to get out of there and be forwardly positioned early, get over, probably save a little bit of ground going into the turn, and I just think this horse will be the winner of the race. I went with him on top, followed by the one horse, Uncle Patty, and with Juan Molina for John Cox. And for third, I used Mr. Lovemaker, number 4.
All right. I went with 5, Prince Abubu.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the 7, Queen's Little Red. I like that. I'm telling you right now, Mike, I just don't see your 10 even being up there. I would like to bet you a soda that this horse of yours I don't think can even get 4th.
Okay.
I just don't think it could clear 10 at 5.5 furlongs and get that amazing speed that you're talking about. The speed, I'm looking at the works here. They haven't been that explosive out there. 2 out of 4, 3 out of 4, 2 out of 5.
Just like he likes to work them.
All right. Well, he knows there's one horse better than them.
Well, they've got so many two-year-olds. This might be one of the ones he was high on early in the year, too.
All right. That's what we got, though, for this one.
I think he's won like three or four. Of these two-year-old races with first-time starters.
Well, maiden special weight, he's at 29%.
Mm-hmm.
For first-timers, he's at 19%.
That's
very,
for the year.
Very respectable. Very respectable. Solid numbers all around here. Two-year-olds, folks, he's at 24%. So Mike's on to something here because I just don't know if he could clear that 10 hole. That's it. I think that's asking a lot.
What's that say at the end there? Maiden special weight, 51%?
No,
29%.
29, not 59.
Yeah, might as well be.
No, it's 29. It's 29. Don't
go to the windows, folks. Go to the windows on the 10.
I'm saying he's going to owe me a soda on this because I don't think that this one is not. I'm too far outside. All right. Okay. Race number two, we've got a 6 furlong maiden special weight, 8,000. Another throw something in the water and hope it hits a fish in the head.
I kind of like a horse in here.
Well, which one do you like?
I kind of like the one that you like on top, Mia's Moonbeam. I've got her picked to win, him picked to win.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the only one that really stood out. And I tell you why I picked that horse, because I'm looking at the Arlington Park trips.
Mm-hmm.
Forget it, because that was synthetic track, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the horse before then at Hawthorne and at Hawthorne again, that was respectable. The numbers even were nice numbers, 62 and a 68 on the 2 times it started.
Right.
You know, I like that. I like seeing that. It wasn't under like – in the 50s and stuff like that. Forget it. Two maiden starts, and it popped a good number like that. So, and then forget those synthetic, like I said, and then it went to Fairmont Park, and it ran a good, solid race. I think it peaks out right here. This is where it puts everything aside and gets its diploma.
Yeah, I do too. I think the horse is tons the best in here. Last time he run, and it was at Fairmont Park, he caught somebody coming up from Ellis Park. I know I rode the horse with Santiago, a horse by the name of Dusty. He went by five. If you look at the time, they went 113 flat. And Mia's Moonbeam was right there, even though he got beat five lengths. He was very impressive in that start, and I just think he just towers over this field.
Okay, so who do you got?
I got the three on top of the five.
Okay.
Robbie Jones for second, mm-hmm. and the eight horse for third, Crawford Avenue.
Okay. All right. And on this one, with my second place horse, I went with R. Ridden Treasure, and that's a seven. And seven to two. Followed by the five, Robbie Jones, like you had it. All right, let's go to race number three here. Race number three. And this is a six furlong claiming 3,200. And I went with Wildwood Ranger. And that was Santiago Becker combination here. And this was the number seven, Wildwood Ranger. Well, I tell you what, folks, it didn't let down the public last time out. And what we're looking at here is, He's not buying into the horse. He's gonna shove it down. He's gonna shove it down their face here. He's going to win this race again, and he's telling you right now that I'm gonna win at this lower end. So number seven, I think Scotty Becker's making a statement here. I'm not moving this horse up. This is where it belongs, and this is where it's gonna win. I like this horse on top, followed by the eight Kids Paradise. And that is Victor Bailon, Ritana, 5-1. And I like the six horse here, Jazzy Sun, Juan Molina. Forget that last race. I think that's the one that Don't Chain Trainers was in.
Yes, I think he won that race.
Oh, that's the one he won? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Why did it say there's a line right through it?
No, Don't Chain Trainers won is what I said. You won that race.
I know, but what happened to Jazzy Sun there?
I don't know, but the bells and whistles is going off for me. I don't have that horse nowhere in this race.
Yeah, I had no. Why I say that is I got it for six for my third place spot.
You better revisit that.
Really? Why?
Well, he hadn't run since July. Last time he run,
the
he,
numbers though. I go by the numbers.
Yeah, well, yeah. The last number was zero.
I know, but I guess you're right there. But you know what? The numbers still read pretty good on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
In this race, I went with the seven as well, Wildwood Ranger, followed up by the 10 horse, Big Man Hungate. I'm going to give him another shot to hit the board. Mm-hmm. And for third, I went with the inside to the old-timer Little Kick. I just didn't use Jazzy Sun at all. I do not like anything about this race at all for him, even though he fits the condition well. He hadn't won a race in 2 years. He got pulled up, vanned off, or walked off the last time. I'm just going to avoid that horse.
Okay. Pulled up, walked off, yeah. And that's what it said. All right, let's move on. Let's move on here. And I got to pull this damn thing off the board. All right. Mike, start us off here. Six furlong, allowance optional, 10,000.
Okay, in the fourth race, I went with the This Duck Can Fly, Charlie Mullins, Uriel Lopez. He's got a lot of speed. There's only one horse in here that can go with him, and that's the inside horse, Matthew's Thunder. But I think This Duck Can Fly gets an easy enough lead in here. And shouldn't look back. Six furlongs might be asking just a little bit much for him, but I think he's going to be far enough out in front they won't run him down. Followed by, for second, I used the seven, Sicori, Bentler Santiago, and for third, I went toward the inside with Pompel and Molina on Legendary Vision, the two.
Well, I tell you what, Mike, that's as far as I went. So I still have to do a couple more races. If you can, why don't you take it from here, and I'll just ask you a couple questions about these races. But for now, you know what, folks? That's all I got. I've had a busy little schedule. I will definitely have the green sheets ready for you, though. Mike, what do you got?
In the fifth race, I've got the four horse. Don't Change Trainers, Tommy Tryon, and Victor Bailon. I look for this horse to run a big race in here. The last time he run, he was...
You got my horse.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, the switch of riders here a little bit. We'll get into that a little bit later. But for a second, I went toward the inside with a two, the Pegasus Book.
I like that one, too.
I think him and Denown and the Road will be out there wing-dinging it on the front end. I think he'll get the better end of that. Denown the Road is a four-life horse, coming into a little tougher bunch. But he will hang around, I think, for third. I liked him for third.
You see, I look at this, Mike, and I studied this race early on, I mean, when it first came out. So I looked at the ones to fear here, to me, are the Pegasus Book, Highway 54, and that's, I'm telling you, that's about it. And I look at these two as the main threats. The one that you mentioned to me, I look at that horse as being more a condition type of horse. He hasn't seen open
right.
company. So,
right.
You know, I think that plays a role with horses like these because they've seen – better competition to where I just don't think that that horse is going to get involved. So I definitely see the Pegasus Book. He's a hard hitter. I mean, he's open to play on anyone. You know, he can come at you. The Highway 54, another one. And again on this one too, folks. Victor Santiago, he's rode this horse. It wasn't like he was getting off my horse to just ride a horse he wasn't familiar with. I mean, the guys rode this horse the entire time but two. So, yeah, you know what? That was the one he chose on that, and he went with the three. The Highway 54, I think, is going to be very much a contender. And then mine, I don't know. That's the way I look at it. I don't see that other one, but I see the main ones, Mike, two, three, four.
Yeah. And you're talking about Santiago picking this or picking that. I'm going to get right into it right now. Them jocks, they don't have no decision on who they ride and who they don't. Most agents will, you know, if they've got two horses like these two, they're pretty evenly matched horses if you look at it on paper. And if I've got a doubt who I think the better horse is, I'll ask an in particular jock, who do you want to ride? In this case, I didn't because I knew Bailon did not ride Highway 54 at all. And I knew Bailon had worked Don't Change Trainers, your horse, and Santiago has got to ride him the whole time. Sometimes you just got to do, you kind of go by numbers. And Durham runs a lot of horses. Tommy's run, your trainer's run 15 horses. If you look at Highway 54's trainer, Mike Durham, I'm sure it's well over 100. You try to keep everybody happy.
I know
Tryon was, it's not that he didn't want Bailon, but he would have rather had Santiago. And I know that. I mean, that's just part of the business. And, that's kind of what I did it. They had two races in this condition, long and short. And your horse went long and if short. Now, Bailon was going to ride your horse either way when I talked to Tryon in the morning. But once we got ready, you know, and started filling the races, Bailon could have rode Durham's other horse, not Highway 54. There was another horse. And I was going to put Bailon on Mike's other horse and stay on Don't Change Trainers with Santiago. The race didn't split. It didn't go both ways. It only went one way. And therefore, I was kind of stuck. So
you know what, Mike? Bottom line is, you got to take care of. That's business, man. And I totally get it. I'm the owner, and I'm saying to you right now,
right.
I totally get it. And that's how it should be. And and plus, like I said to you 2-3 weeks ago, on a different show, I'm very happy with these jockeys now.
Right.
I mean, it's not a cliff dive after Hernandez.
Right.
4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
I mean, I'm seeing, I'm happy. Like when he told me, all right, we don't have Santiago, I went, oh, really? And I go, who do we got? He said, Victor Bailon. And I go, yeah, I don't mind. Mm-hmm. I don't mind. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that at all. No big deal.
And unfortunately, he did. That's my fishing hole, you know, I go to. And, one of his neighbors called me the other night and said he drained his pond. And he's got a scarecrow out on a lawn chair.
Right.
Built like I am, kind of a hefty guy with a fishing pole, and I'm fishing in a dry pond now.
Yeah, I doubt that because he already mentioned the Portuguese water dog jumping in his, not his pool, but his
pond.
Pond, yeah. All right, so that's who we got here, folks.
Yeah, that's race five.
Race five. All right, so let's move on to race number six. Race number six is allowance optional claiming $5,000. What do we have here, Mike?
For this race, I went toward the outside, Elizabeth's Fever, number seven, Teddy Randazzo, the Magic Carpet Ride Man, and Victor Bailon. I just think she's the best horse on paper, and you got a couple of conditioned horses that's won two or three in their lifetime. This old mare here is, I don't know how many races she's won. She's probably won, six for 13 at Fairmont. So lifetime, she's 9 for 39, all the class in the world. She got interfered with the last time she run. She got a little cut up. She bounced off the rail and checked in the upper stretch. She's had enough time off. They've healed her up. I know Teddy wouldn't run her unless he felt she was ready to roll. She's 2 to 5. I think, personally, that's a little bit low.
Yeah,
I don't know the last time I seen a 2 to 5 shot in the morning line. Maybe Card back in 2013. Maybe Hoagie the year after that. But she does definitely look like the horse to
me. Yeah, but not a 2 to 5.
No.
I mean, 2 to 5, folks, you should see this all ones. And I think Teddy would probably say the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why they've made me 2 to 5.
Right.
So.
And for second, I use the 6 horse, Sharpsburg. Scroll up to her past performances there, and I'm going to make sure I'm talking right here. Last time out, there. Here you go again. You know, Bailon rode this horse last time and run second. And now this time she's ridden to with Santiago. And here's one of them things. Elizabeth's Fever has won some races with Bailon, so I left him up on her and gave Sharpsburg's owners the services of Santiago. I don't know if Santiago has ever rode this mare before, but she will be a contender, I think, in this field. And for third, I used this horse. I hated putting her third. I mean, I think maybe she could even possibly win the race. It's so obvious, the 2 horse. This mare has done nothing but right things this year, and she's going to be out front. She's going to be tough to handle. She's outrun some pretty decent 12-5
mares. What number is that, Mike?
Number 2, so obvious. I think she's really going to run a big race, and they're going to have her to catch. I don't think Elizabeth's Fever has to have the front. Should be laying right in behind, so obvious. And that's why I went in 7-6-2.
7-6-2. That sounds pretty good to me, buddy. And you made a case for every one of them, so that's what's even better. Let's move on to race number 7. The race number 7 is a 6-furlong claiming 4,000. What do you got here?
In this race, I went toward the outside with Dandy Rap. Becker's dropped her in for 4,000, looking for a win. She's got all kinds of speed. She will have some company, though. I don't think she's going to be out there by herself. But I used her on top, followed closely by this mare here will really be closing the 2 horse, More Than Crazy. Tom Doris and Francisco Giles. Last time this filly ran, she win with Molina. And Molina opted to ride the outside horse, Just Sky. I didn't see that. Don't know what the thinking is, but I'm sure her Juan's agent had an idea, and he's going to go with maybe it's numbers. Who knows what it is? But Giles will fit More Than Crazy just fine. I look for her to be second. And for third, I went toward the 7 horse, Hold Me Sue, coming off of a big win.
You know, that sounds good. I was wondering that, too. I looked at that Just Sky. I think it ran like 3 times or something like that.
With Lopez. I just don't.
It was with Lopez twice. And I didn't see the Molina combo. You know what? it ran open. Now, this is what they could be looking at, Mike. It ran open 4,000 mile 70, and maybe they're looking at that. And you know what? Maybe front speed. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't figured it out myself. And maybe Doris's horse entered late. He gave the call out already and just had to adjust.
Something could have happened there. All right, so that's what we have then?
Yes. I got a 927.
927. All right, so moving on to race number eight.
Yep, race number eight.
And our final race of the year, my friends. What a run we've had. So let's hope everything works out to where we have it again the following year and years to come. But we got a 6 furlong claiming 4,000, and this is race number eight.
Yeah, race number eight, I kind of went with a prize horse here. I went with the 7 horse, Mighty Gene, Jerry Hammond. He has two of them in the race. This horse here, he also kind of got steadied last start when Dr. Lechte came down.
Lechte?
Yeah, and he did have to check. He was right in contention. He did end up getting beat 3 lengths, and that incident happened a little closer to the wire. But I think with Santiago, he's going to get forwardly placed out of here. And I kind of like the rider switch there. Of course, I would. But Lopez opted to ride the other Jerry Hammond horse in here. And but I like the 7 on top of the 10, Juchero. Billy McCune and Victor Balon. I think this horse will be tough. Coming off of a good, I think he finished either second or third the last time he run. And for third place, I went with a speed horse, Rumbler. He just broke his maiden last start after many, many tries, but I do think he would be forwardly placed as well, and Frankie Randazzo always has his horses ready, and Giles is in the irons, and I think that horse will be a good third.
Yeah, I definitely like the Mighty Gene, though.
Mm-hmm.
That one stood out the best for me on this one.
Right, and that's one of them situations, too, that you look at, and you know, Santiago rides, he's had 4 starts for Jerry Hammond. This will make his 4th start of the year, riding for Jerry, and 3 of them has been my wife's horse. So this is actually kind of a first time he's rode for Jerry instead of, you know, my wife.
Excellent. Excellent, Mike. I tell you what, man, it's been a great show, and we will keep doing this, folks, after the season has ended as well. So we're all excited here. And, Mike, what do you got?
Good luck to you. I'm going to go with your horse, the best play of the day.
You're kidding.
No. I like Don't Change Trainers a lot. The 4 horse in the 5th race, I think he stands out to me. I look for him to get. I think the race is really going to set up well for him. He's got tactical speed. I look for Balon to have him, you know, 3 or 4 lengths off the lead. The gate issue last time, you just, like I said before, you just throw it out the window. I think he's going to be real tough to beat that race. And there's another horse. I got a long shot play of the day too, and you go to the race number 1. The 7 horse, Queen's Little Red. I know she's, I think, 4-1 on the morning line. I look for her to creep up. She's probably going to go off 8, 9, 10-1. This filly can run, and she'll be tough in here.
All right. Excellent. Excellent, Mike. All right, folks, keep cashing those tickets. Keep listening to our show at FairmontParkPodcast.com. That was FairmontParkPodcast.com. And check us out at Race Day at Fairmont Park on Facebook. We're excited about you guys leaving messages, and our friends out there, our people listening to the show, thank you so much. And we're definitely, like I said, we're going to have guests and stuff. It's going to be exciting off season 2. All right, from Mike, Jono, we're out of here. Take care, my friends. Keep cashing those winning tickets.
Tune in next week for another episode of Race Day at Fairmont Park on the lineupmedia.fm network. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or through our website, FairmontParkPodcast.com, and follow the show on Facebook and Twitter. There's a perfect time when you're tempted. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.